I'll be reading from Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir.
Good morning. I figured since Dustin had been up here more than I usually am, I'd at least let him talk. He got skipped somewhere along the way. I want to make sure he had a chance. Thank you, if I remember everybody, David and Tyler and Dustin and Junior and Dylan and Nathan for all those readings this morning. You may have noticed already, if you're around me very much, my voice is not good today. Which is great for you, because that means we're not going to talk for a real long time. And if I start coughing, we might talk for even less time, because it's been interesting. I can't decide if it's allergies or a cold or what, but something has got me over the last couple days. Ricola is my friend in one side of my mouth right now, so I'll try to keep that in there. As we get started this morning, all right. So we get started this morning, I want to remind everybody about our Vacation Bible School coming up. Partners, as you can tell, the set's a little different than normal. If you're visiting with us, this is not how we normally look. Although I'm really excited about our new confession booth. So if you have anything you need to talk about, I'll be up here after services. And then also, if I catch anyone falling asleep, we have a place for you right over here. So it's all good today. It's kind of funny. I thought we might be doing the Feast of the Tabernacles. That just finished up in Jewish calendar time. Oh, a picture's being taken. I thought this would be safe because we didn't have the video going with the sign language today, but Cecilia caught me. I hope if you're able that you'll be a part of our VBS this week. If you've got kids in your neighborhoods or in your family that you can bring for that, we would love to have them here. And also, if you'd like to come back tonight and be a part of our prayer time for that, we would very much welcome you to be a part of that. I don't think I can do it the whole time. Now I'm going to have a head, though. One of my good friends in Searcy, his name was Rick Short. And Rick's job, he sold something that you added to cattle feed that made the cattle, after that feed had made its way through the system, not have flies around it. I have no idea how that works, but there's chemistry involved. And so he would go from cattle ranch to cattle ranch all across the country selling this cattle feed stuff. And everywhere you saw Rick, he was wearing a great big white cowboy hat and had a gigantic belt buckle. And Rick, I think about Rick sometimes on Father's Day because several of his kids came through the youth group. He kept us stocked for a while. And he was just a really, really great dad and still is a really great dad. But we're going to talk a little bit about dads this morning. If you have not read the article in the bulletin, a couple things. One, I don't want you to tune me out if dad is not a good thing in your life, because we're not going to spend all our time just talking about earthly dads. And for me, dad was not a great thing in my life. I haven't seen my dad since I was 5. He passed away about 14 years ago, I believe, 13 years ago, something like that. And we didn't have a great relationship growing up, and so Father's Day was just kind of Sunday at my house growing up. And then now that I have kids of my own, it takes on a different meaning, but I understand what it's like for this day to come and not to have great memories that go along with it. Or if you've lost a dad not terribly long ago or even quite a while back, sometimes this day can bring sadness along with it. But what we're going to look at this morning is something a little different. We're going to look at who God is for us as a father. And if you want to flip over to John chapter 14, we will be there, and we'll also be in Romans chapter 8. John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I think what John is saying here, what Jesus is saying here in the book of John is, be calm. And if there is a message we might need in our lives this morning, this is probably a pretty good place to start. Because life is not calm. Yesterday, several of us went over to Regan's place and helped her move. And I told Regan this morning, I'm pretty sure that is the fastest move I have ever been a part of. It was one apartment to another apartment. It was about 4 pickup trucks full of stuff. And there were so many people there, it was just in and out. And I think we were totally done in an hour from packing to re-putting out. Now, it'll probably take Regan a month to get everything where it needs to go. But moving is not calm. And I don't know what the lead up to the move was like for Regan. I remember the lead up to our move. And this weekend, 1 year ago, we were here interviewing, wondering if this might be something that would be good for us and for you. And here we are a year later. I remember that move, trying to pack things up. And every time you think you're pretty close to the end, you're not pretty close to the end. And especially when you've got a family's worth of stuff that you've collected in the same house you've lived in for the last 8 or 10 years. Now, for some of you who have lived in those same houses for 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, you can just imagine that multiplied out. Not a calm time. For a lot of us, we look forward to summertime as a time where things kind of calm down a little bit. And how often do they actually calm down? For Jesus' disciples, they have just learned an awful lot in chapter 13. They learned that he's going to die. They learned that it's not going to be a good, easy death. And they learned that it's going to be one of them that betrays him. And if you can imagine getting all of that news inside of a day and starting to try to process that, the one thing you probably would not be is calm. You would be on edge. You would be frustrated. You would be confused. You would want to lash out at the one who's going to betray. You would have all these different emotions in mind. And Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. He doesn't want our hearts to be troubled. He wants us to be more calm than that. And then he says in verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. Or if you have the old King James, it might say, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Now, I know we will read this verse a lot, and very honestly, we probably hear this verse more than anywhere in a memorial service, when we're trying to think about eternity and not think about loss here, but about gain somewhere else. I want you to think for a minute about this idea of him going to prepare a room for us. Now, this is a little different than our culture now, I think, especially here in the Northwest. If I go to prepare a room for you in our apartment, I am going to inflate an air mattress. And you're going to be in one of our boys' rooms that we will then kick them out of, and you will spend some time on the floor on an air mattress, and it's not terribly exciting. If you go to visit relatives, there might be a room for you, there might not. And you might try to get there early enough to catch one of those rooms if they're available. In the Jewish culture, families would live in the same place. Back here in the days of Jesus. And so if someone is getting ready to get married, if someone is getting ready to start a family of their own, oftentimes they would add another floor or another room to that Jewish home as a place that this new family would live. Now, where we see it in our culture is Amish country. And I don't know how well you can see these from back there, but about 10 years ago now, it was probably not 10, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, my family and I went to Pennsylvania, and we visited Amish country. And I remember going around through that, being a technology kind of guy, and thinking, how do these people live like this? How do they do this? At the same time, my wife is sitting in the other seat of the minivan saying, this would be the most wonderful life ever. We should live just like this. And we would see the horses and buggies go by and all of those things. And we took a buggy tour, because that's the way you've got to see Amish country. And so we're there on the buggy. And they're explaining to us as we pass houses that these houses you can see have been added onto over and over again. And what happens is, as another generation grows up, they add another piece to the house. And it's this big homestead there where the whole family lives. So when Jesus says to us, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And when he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, a room for you, they're building on. They are adding on, this past week, room for Muriel. They are adding on somewhere along the way a room for you and a room for me and a room for each of us that decides we want to live this life that God has put before us. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty happy thought. I remember going out on my own for the first time and having an apartment and rent and all of those things, and all of these things not being arranged for me ahead of time, having to go figure all this out. And the thought of having a room prepared for me by God is a pretty good thought. And if I go and prepare a place for you, in verse 3, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? It's being where he is. It's being where God is. A lot of times people will ask me, how would you describe heaven? And I will say to most of them, I have no idea. But I know God is there. And given all the options of where I can be when this life is done, I know I want to be where God is. So is it literally streets of gold? I doubt it. I imagine that's probably just a way to describe, to try to make it to make sense to people. Is it literally the best things you imagine here today? Probably not, because those things won't be of all that much use there. But is it something better than we can possibly imagine? Is it this incredible place that God has made for us where we can be there with him? Yes. That's exactly what it is. And he says, not only is there a room for you, not only am I going to prepare it to make sure it's ready for when you get there, but where I'm going, that's where you're going to be. We'll be there together. You know the way to the place where I am going. The way. And Jesus will call himself later in this chapter the way and the truth and the life. He is the way to get there. And our world, I think, is searching for a way to get somewhere. And we know. We know what that way is. He is the way to get to the Father. And so he says all these things in a hope to comfort his disciples. Now, if you want to turn over to Romans chapter 8, David read a part of this for us earlier today. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We do a pretty good job in our world, I think, of living according to the flesh, according to the wants and needs and desires that we have. I came in today, and as much as I'm excited about being here with you and worshiping together and hoping my voice will hold out and all of that stuff and the decorations and wearing the hat and getting my picture taken, I'm really excited about that table in the back. And if you've not turned around and looked back there, there is a table chock full of treats back there. And it says it's for dads. So I'm qualified. Oh, guys. Okay. It's for guys. Dads get extra. It's for guys. I'm excited about that because I get excited about things around us that we see. It's kind of our nature. But Paul says to us here, don't just live according to the flesh. There's something greater than that out there. Because if you live according to the flesh, it's temporary. Those cookies will be gone. They'll be gone pretty quickly, I would guess. It's temporary. Whatever those things are that we desire, they are temporary. As great as those Amish houses are, they're temporary. All of these things are just something that comes and goes. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And this is where it really begins to get good. Because whatever your parents are like here, and some of them are wonderful, wonderful people that you could spend the rest of the afternoon reminiscing about or talking to if they're still here. And some of your parents, you try as much as you can to put that out of your mind because it's too hard to remember those memories. It's too difficult. Whatever our parents are like here, we are the children of God. And that is a very, very good thing to know. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and we cry by him, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So not only are we told that we are the children of God, but the Spirit testifies that we are children of God. He wants us to be his children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We are heirs. I don't know what you will inherit in life. I don't know if you have inherited anything along the way. I will inherit stuff somewhere along the way because I'm an only child on my mom's side. And like I've told you before, I think, if I decide to take up quilting, I am set. But aside from that and the things that I will inherit, nothing terribly exciting there. My mom will listen to this later. She'll be shocked to find that out. But to be co-heirs with Christ in what God has in mind for us, something entirely different. We are heirs. We are not just hired hands. We are not the kid that is not quite loved as much as the other kid. We're not the non-favorite. We're not the one with parents that don't care. We are heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are God's children. And Paul lays it out for us there because there is a really great thing that comes with that and maybe a little more difficult thing that comes with that. Because the thought of being an heir, the thought of inheriting, that's all good. The thought of suffering, don't enjoy that one quite as much. And yet he says to us, we'll have a share in both. There will be days that we have easy times and days where things are difficult. There will be times we are understood and times we are not. There are times that we can see that prize right in front of us and times we have a harder time focusing on it. But yet we are still the children of God this morning. So as we think about Father's Day, I'm not sure what it means to you. I would imagine for some of us it's exciting, some of us not as much. But for us, every day is our Father's Day. Every time we come together here on a Sunday, it's in celebration of our Father. Every time we wake up in the morning and breathe that breath of life for the first time as we're awake, it's our Father's Day. He loves us more than we can imagine. And I can imagine quite a bit. And he loves me more than that. This morning, if you are yearning for a father's love, he wants to give that love to you. And this morning, if you struggle with the idea of a father, and maybe this isn't the place where you meet God, I hope you can get there eventually. I hope you can get to the point that you understand what a father should be. I hope you can reach the point where you understand the kind of father that God wants to be. And if you're a father this morning, and you're challenged when you hear some of these different verses that some of our young men read, and you feel like, maybe I'm not quite the father I need to be. I know I start to hear those verses, and I think to myself, oh, I need to do that job better than I do. Whatever need you may have this morning, whether it's needs within your family, or you want to be a part of God's family, please come as we stand and sing.